All right, this is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. The Apple drop test, specifically the iPhone 10, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Apple's tax haven. We're going to talk about people having a meltdown over the Snapchat outage. And we're going to talk about a Tesla truck event amongst a whole bunch of other stuff. And of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1238 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 6th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or PayPal.me. Pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. All your GoDaddy deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time if you're new. And if you are new, we want you to get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over there, it's real simple to get subscribed to the show. All you have to do is subscribe via Apple Podcasts on Android, via email, Google Play, and Stitcher. Tune in or on the RSS feed. Really, that's kind of the way to do it. There's a newsletter link there for you as well. Hook up with that and get that dialed in. So that way you won't miss a single episode of the show. That way you'll be subscribed and get access to all the good stuff. So, of course, for those of you that are longtime listeners of the show, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. If you want to drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, on Twitter at Geek News, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. Join our Slack channel by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com and tell you if you want to be part of the Slack channel. You can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel via the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo via that device, telling it to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Listen or watch on blueberry.com. Listen on Stitcher. Or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my GNC team, The New Media Show, done with Rob Greenlee and I, and of course, the podcast Legend Show. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Of course, and we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to check out all those great deals, everything that's available there. That's the place to get hooked up. And I lost control of a mouse. And so all my November specials are there, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, getit.com, $1 a month economy hosting, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. For the first year, both those offers come with a free domain. $12 gets you, again, economy hosting or managed WordPress hosting, or a month free trial of GoDaddy website builder. All those codes, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Little hot on the mic tonight. I made some changes, and I think I dialed it up too much. So I'm going to reach back here and twist the knob down a little bit. That'll take a little heat off the mic. I don't know what's going on there. And of course, I'm trying to enable the links for the lower thirds, and nothing is working for me tonight. All right, there we go. My God. Killing myself here. Sorry about this. You know what's going on? I'll be straight up. I had this thing tore down. This weekend, the studio was literally ripped apart. And I'm, you know, making preparations for all these changes. And spent a lot of time getting everything rehooked back up. And, you know, and what do I do tonight is, you know, the prepping for the show. The internet was just crawling. And I'm so wrapped around the axle about getting live out that you know, I basically spent 20 minutes wanting to smash my cable modem and everything else that's here in the studio. It's something, man. It's just like the perfect storm is going on. I'm not kidding you. For those of you listening, you guys could care less, right? About my trials and travails. Oh my God. Unbelievable. And part of it is just, you know, spinning, getting wrapped around the axle about the internet. It's when you're a one man show and things don't align. And then when the stars don't align like they were supposed to, then, you know, you end up being totally freaked out when stuff is not in the position that it's supposed to be in. And by miracle, that bug is in the right location. Oh my God, unbelievable. But, you know, we were dealing with it Saturday too, before I tore the studio apart. Rob called in for the new media show. He was on a wireless connection. He's always on a wired, so we were having problems with that. So it's just one thing after the other. But all these changes are going to be good when I get everything done. And I thought actually coming in and doing the show tonight that I thought everything was about right. But when you sit down and you start hearing stuff on the mic and you look at the levels and you're looking at everything else and you're hearing a little bit of too much stuff in the background, your mind starts saying, oh man, I got it tweaked just a little bit too much, but it's close. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. And I do have a show for you tonight. One thing I'm putting in, and it's something new, and it's something I've never had to install before personally, is I'm putting in a managed switch. For those of you that are geeks, you know, I've been on a 1 gig, wired network here for a long time. And I had a 1 gig switch that was rack mounted that I put in the rack as part of this LAN rewiring. All that was good. And then I started reading some things that I need to be prepped for this new architecture that I'm putting in. And they said, oh, we recommend that you have a, and what they had was a dummy switch. They said, you need to have a managed switch that supports multicast detection, IGMP, and all these things that I've never dealt with before. And I was like, I know that the $97 switch I've got in the box was not going to work. So I went on Amazon and found a managed switch that met all the specification. It was actually recommended by some teams that have put some of the same gear in, and $260 later, it'll be here on Wednesday. So one thing leads to another. So one thing is going to be true about this home is this sucker is going to be, lightning fast as far as the internal internet infrastructure. But when it comes to, the biggest hiccup is always the cable modem. And if the internet's slow there, there's nothing you can do. You're kind of stuck. But I've upgraded to all the LAN cables here in the studio right now are Cat 7. The Cat 6 or Cat 7, I don't have one of the, and I got all those cables from a model price. So everything here is like on brand new, super good Ethernet cables. And, we're going to be, we just need the fiber. We just need fiber to the home. That's all and we would be rocking and rolling. But, it is what it is. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And, Chris says, hey, nope. He says, I care. It makes me feel better to know that we all have tech stuff beating us up from time to time. It's true. It beats me up lately. It's been beating me up more, Chris, than just normal stuff. And, what's kind of funny too, is for those of you that are not watching on live stream today, it's because I wired everything in the studio. I got it all hooked up. Everything's good. I got everything, tight in, nice and pretty. Cables, everything's routed away from power and so that we don't get issues with feedback. And, I've learned my lessons there, even though every once in a while, I'll still screw up. And I went to turn on the live stream box and I'm like, it's not connecting to the internet. What's going on? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's an HDMI cable coming into it. There's a power cord. There's no LAN cable. So when I was stripping out all the old cable, I ran everything but that one. And of course, I'm saying, okay, I could just slap a cable in back here and make it work. But I'm like, no. I went to this effort to make everything look neat. I'll just go without live stream tonight. And when I'm in daylight hours, I'll put the line in and get it into the matrix and it'll all look nice and pretty. It keeps the wife happy. But anyway, that's it. All right. Did I get everything? I talked about the sponsor, right? And gear's starting to arrive. So some of that stuff is good. And again, there's some things I may end up having to redo because I yanked out underneath here some of the stuff I'm using for how I feed the video to the Ohanasaurus. And the box that I bought, it has a feed through, and hypothetically you plug in the Mac Mini to the input of this box, you take the loop out, you hook it to the monitor. Now if everything works as absolutely advertised, then the screens perfectly line up. But as soon as I plugged the box in and did some testing, it didn't sync completely. So I was like, cuss words, and it's a little smaller, but it's small enough that it's enough to make my OCD go insane. So I may end up having to put a couple of boxes back in. So luckily I didn't throw any of that stuff in the trash. I wouldn't have anyway, because it's, you know, all good gear. But, you know, I'm trying to remove stuff, not keep stuff, but that's just the way it works. So anyway, I do have a tech show for you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed and putting up with my, really my stupidity here. But, again, a big thank you for all the listeners that are supporting the show with your dollars and supporting the sponsor. We would not be able to do this insanity if you were not. And it just goes to show you, after 13 years of doing podcasts, things can and do continue to go sideways. But hey, I want to talk just a little bit here to begin with tonight about this iPhone 10. There is bad news. You get this beautiful device and you've just spent $1,200-$1,300 for it, especially if you bought Apple Care and everything goes along, right? And you drop it once. And based on tests that have been done by Ars Technica and CNET, dropping it from a height of 3 feet on almost any, on its back, on its face, on its side, just shows immediate damage. The glass at the corner of the phone cracked on the very first test, which dropped the phone on its side. A second test dropped the phone on its face, leading even to more fractures. And CNET has concluded that dropping the phone without a case is, quote unquote, out of question. The damage that they encountered was only cosmetic. A more extensive drop test from SquareTrade showed damage to functionality as well. Of course, SquareTrade is a company that offers protection plans for mobile devices. It should be noted that the company is an incentive to convince consumers that their devices may be at risk. So SquareTrade, each test was performed by a robot or other mechanical apparatus designed to produce consistent circumstances for testing. The face test dropped the phone from 6 feet onto its front, and the phone screen and true depth sensor ray become unresponsible, dropped from the same height that landed the phone on its back, shattered the glass back. The side drop test in the same condition also rendered the screen inoperable. The next phone that SquareTrade tumbled was a tumble test, which puts a device in a washer or dryer-like tumbler for 60 seconds. The result was a phone that could perform its swipe to unlock. Well, it was, they couldn't perform it swiped unlock gesture anymore. And finally, the company shot test a simulated the phone falling from the top of a car when the car begins moving. And this just it smashed it completely. And it did fare better in a dunk test, and it survived for 30 minutes while completely submerged in water. So the result led SquareTrade to name the iPhone X the most breakable iPhone. It is tested based on methodology that scores devices on their breakability. And the biggest problem with those tests, though, is that 6 feet is really higher than most of us would ever probably drop a phone from. So here's the deal. If you don't have this thing in a case, you're an absolute idiot. You know, if you're going to spend that kind of money anyway, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have it in a case? I know I would. I just can't imagine people not. So anyway, be aware, okay? If you picked up the iPhone X, if you drop it and it's not in a case, you're going to break it. But I think more disturbing is news that broke today. And this article I'm linking up for you is in Fortune.com. It talked how Apple has used the Channel Isle of Jersey. And be honest with you, I had to look where the heck this was at. The Channel Island of Jersey to avoid billions in taxes. This controversy is such that it appears that upon Ireland basically ruling that if you didn't have a physical presence in Ireland, that any income derived would have to be paid in the country in which the headquarters or which the majority of the folks resided in. And that was kind of, that's the Reader's Digest version of this. So Apple went shopping around, and Apple asked the lawyers whether it would be best to shift its tax-free subsidiary to the British Virgin Islands, Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, Mauritius, the Isle of Man, Guernsey, or Jersey, according to emails that have been released. Apple chose Jersey, not Jersey Shore. Okay, just be careful. The island of Jersey. Because they have a 0% corporate tax. And they turn to a company, to basically a legal firm, to help them figure this out. They've been able to shelter a huge amount of money. But Apple says its foreign tax rate is an effective of 21%. But there's lots of questions here on, you know, how they're doing the sheltering, some shell companies and a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, the average person that owns a company do not have a bevy of lawyers and teams and, you know, unlimited money to go around and setting up ways to avoid paying taxes. Apple makes an insane amount of profit on each of its devices. And I don't begrudge any company for making a profit. That's what they're in business for. Okay. If they can build something that costs $365 and people pay $1,000 or $1,300 for that device that costs $360. Good on them. That's an incredible markup. But at the same time, I own a company, and whatever I end up earning at the end of the year, minus expenses, minus salary, minus healthcare, all this stuff that, you know, we can take off the top of the, you know, off our gross revenue to, you know, show expenses, server costs, data centers, all this stuff that's a legitimate business expense, travel and so forth. Once we deduct that and come up with our net income, wherever that is in a corporate world, it equates to a certain percentage on the tax bracket, and you write a check to Uncle Sam. And believe me, those checks can be painful to write. Each and every one of us has probably had at one point in our lives to write a check to the IRS. Matter of fact, I got a notice from the IRS the other day that I underpaid $97 in one quarter back in 2009. And they want their $89 or whatever it is, dollars and $5.65 in interest. And, you know, I will send them the money and then I'll go to the account and say, where did we screw up? You don't mess around. You send the IRS the money when they've said you've made a mistake, and then you try to figure it out. If you do, you recoup it later. But the last thing you want to do is get in a pissing match with the IRS. But I'm happy to pay what I owe. And if I've underpaid, I'll pay it. But when a company can purposely have billions of dollars of profit off the books, it makes one wonder a little bit. You know, the European Union wants $14.5 billion from Apple because they believe they've underpaid taxes in the European Union. You don't get $252 billion in cash and 94% of it held offshore. And that's largely a result of tax avoidance strategies, again, that shift profits from the sales in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East out of the country's direct tax jurisdiction. But Apple cannot bring the untaxed profits back into the United States without paying the U.S. 35%. This is why Congress is talking about having a repatriation tax. Think about that $252 billion coming in at a, you know, you tax it at 10% or 8 or 7. The Treasury still gets some money, and that money can be used in the U.S. But, you know, Apple has long-term debts. They've got $100 billion in debt, but they got $252 billion in cash offshore. But because they're buying stock in the United States, they can't offset. You know, it's better to be owing money than and have money offshore than bringing it back. So, I don't know. Apple's not the only one that does this. All major corporations do this. And, but, you know, Tim Cook a while ago basically said, we do not depend on tax gimmicks. Well, to the average Joe, it's a tax gimmick. Anytime you can avoid, you know, let's, you know, okay, so let's look at it the other way. If you and I could do it, would we do it? Probably. If we could figure out a way to not have to pay our fair share of taxes, and you had an international corporation, you probably would do that too, right? But makes you go, just a little bit, doesn't it? But imagine if all these U.S. corporations paid their fair share, then, you know, it could help with the deficit a little bit. Well, what's going on here? All right. So anyway, that's that. All right. Let's talk just a little bit here about Snapchat. Snapchat suffered a worldwide outage and it was out for 4 hours and the whole universe collapsed. Many users tweeted about being unable to sign in after logging off the app. And, you know, a lot of people under 30 posting pictures of themselves and, you know, girls showing off their cleavage. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous, some of the Snapchat stuff. And, but, you know, a lot of people were very, very upset. And that they couldn't get on and snap. Some people thought that Snapchat went out of business, and yeah, everyone was panicking. But 4 hours is a long time for any service to be out. Oh yeah, Chris. I guess that means they skipped the hammer test. I don't think the iPhone X needed a hammer. He said the $1,200 that will be in a case in bubble wrap. Yeah, putting bubble wrap on your iPhone, that makes it real useful, right? Yeah, I don't think that that's going to work. Hey, Tesla is teasing an electric truck again. It sends out some invites. November 16th. Doors open 7 p.m. Hawthorne, California. So if you were lucky enough to get one of these, you know, it's no secret that Tesla's been working on an electric semi-truck. And the picture that I'm seeing here is, let me see if I can bring it up. See if that part of the studio still works. All right, let me right click. Oh, no, don't want to close you because that'll cause YouTube to go away. So let me click over here. There we go. All right, so I should have sent that. All right, so here comes. So the silhouette looks almost like a bus, not a semi-truck. But, you know, whatever Tesla does is going to be slick and sexy, right? Going to make make driving a semi something to, you know, seem like a, or be a dream job. For some it is. It's going to be on the road, you know, not necessarily winding your hair, but away from annoyances, except for traffic annoyances. I could never drive a truck because I would, no, I couldn't do it. I could never be a semi truck driver. But anyway, so this event here that Tesla's going to do is they're going to talk about it. So we'll see what happens here. Probably see a prototype of some type. All right. All right. Yeah, let me make sure I'm right there. Yep. Don't forget today you can send an email to me, geeknews@gmail.com. I do have something to say at the end of the show. One of our listeners got some products with GoDaddy, and I want to talk about that a little bit. There is a, you know, William Teague, of course, William Shatner blocked me on Twitter. You all know that. We talked about that before. But William Shatner is finally going to Mars. Well, his name is anyway. You know, the... you know, who he famously portrayed Captain James T. Kirk in the original Star Trek TV series is actually getting beamed up. And he's going aboard the NASA Mars InSight lander. And he's going to be, his name is going to, along with 2.4 million other people, will be going up on a microchip. You know, here's the thing about sending your name up on a microchip. Now, the chances are that that microchip will never, ever be detected by anything. But if aliens show up and analyze that thing, and your name is on there, and then they come to Earth, and you're not alive, but they start looking at your ancestors, you... Yeah, I don't know if I want my name going to Mars or not. Or, you know, who knows? Crazy as it sounds, I don't know. Don't know. But if you submitted your name, you'll be on the microchip on the lander, and you will your name digitally will go to Mars. So if all goes according to plan, this lander will land on Mars in November 2018. And it's called InSight. Is that right? Is that what it's called? So what is the actual? I thought it's called InSight is the lander. And it's going to launch in May and again land in November. So it's to look at the interior of Mars. It's not necessarily a rover, just a lander. All right, cool. Hey, Google showed misinformation here the last couple of days. This tragedy that happened in Texas, where this, what I feel is, in my opinion, a mentally ill individual went in and just caused havoc by killing all these people. A lot of people went to Google searching for some of this information, and a lot of the information that came up initially was wrong. They did have, when they put this guy's name in, this deceased shooter, it said he was a member of certain organizations, and it was pretty inflammatory, and some of that was not at all right. And basically, Google said that the search results appearing from Twitter which service based on our rank algorithms are changing second by second. For example, dynamic conversation is going on in near real time. For the queries in question, they're not the first results we show on the page. Instead, they appear after news sources, including top stories. We'll continue to look at ways to improve how we rank tweets. But anyway, there was a lot of misinformation in there, and people were flipping out over that, which caused its own Twitter storm about the Google updates. So just be careful when you're out there looking for news in the beginning, and you know, put a filter on it. Know that things aren't going to be completely right until the official story gets out there. All right. Hey, if you are looking for some alternative data plans, cell phone plans, you can get 5 lines of unlimited high speed data. Yes, unlimited high speed data for $100 per month. This is a pretty good deal. Now, it's from Cricket. And this is from Boost Mobile. They'll give you 5 lines of unlimited for $100. Now, that's not unlimited, meaning you get a few gigs of high speed data, then it's throttled, but rather unlimited all the way. But they do say after 23 gigs, Boost may throttle you. So unlimited with throttling at 23 gigs, but still 5 lines at $100 and 23 gigs, that's pretty good price out there. So anyway, I've got some deals here linked for you. Cricket has some new plans. It talks about some other pay-as-you-go plans as well. Also talks about which carrier. That's important because I think that Boost is on Sprint. Oh, both Cricket and Boost rely on Sprint CDMA network. So, you know, you're going to have a compatible phone, and you'll be essentially getting the same speed as Sprint's network. And I'm completely off Sprint. I have a T-Mobile MiFi, a Verizon MiFi, and a Verizon mobile phone. So yes, 2 MiFis. That's how it kind of flies around here. But anyway, that's that. Google has something called a password alert extension, and it's to help prevent phishing. This is kind of interesting, and I'm not exactly sure how this works, but if you're a Google Chrome user, you can use more securely protect yourself from phishing attacks with a simple extension from Google. It's called Password Alert Extension for Google Chrome and aims to prevent phishing scams from compromising your account before you notice. So if you have even the slightest fear someone might try to break into your account, which we all should, this tool should be part of your arsenal. Password Alert works by temporarily storing an altered, partially randomized version of your password in your browser. So every time you enter a password, the extension compares your password to its saved version and checks if the site is a legitimate Google sign-in page. There's no key logging according to Google, meaning you don't have to worry about the extension watching you type to detect when you enter your password. Password Alert also works from multiple profiles on the same Google Chrome browser, so you can protect your both and personal accounts. So it basically says when the alert comes up, it says reset your Google account password. You just entered your Google account password on a sign-in page that's not Google's. Immediately reset your password, protect your account. Please make sure you don't reuse your password for other apps and sites. So it actually gives you an alert. So I guess this is only when you use Google, your Google account, to authenticate. You know how you do that on a lot of sites now? You can use your Facebook account, use your Google account to authenticate. So this is where that lies. So just a cool little extension to use. Also, some of you get Netflix email scams. So if you receive an email from Netflix that threatens your binge watch, some subscribers recently got emails indicating their accounts were being canceled or suspended for lack of payment. Your suspension notification read the subject line on what turned out to be a phishing email. And so just be careful about this, okay? It's well designed and it looks like the real deal here, but it's just a way to get information from you, login passwords, get your account info, all that. Always go to, if you get emails like that, never load the page from the email. I always go to the site directly in my browser and I log in directly from the site. I never click the link on any type of email, even if I get it and I think it's from the right company. I just, by habit, I don't click on the links no more, unless I've initiated a password reset or something like that. Hey, Olympus has launched something called the new iTrek smart glasses for $1,500. Now, what this is it's a business camera on a, that you wear, just like Google Glasses, but, you know, not quite the same. And it's basically it's a patent optical system, enables users to see the display without blocking their eyesight, provides them with easily accessible information whenever they need it without interfering with their activities. It's got a 640 by 400 OLED sits in the corner of the user's vision. When the product is worn, there's a small camera for taking photos and videos. It's powered by Android 4.2.2 and features a 3.5mm headphone jack. Incorporates both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and it's confirmed that the iTrek Insight EI10 will be able to purchase later this month. A 5-pack for a battery costs an additional $210. You can hot swap the battery. Not a lot more details of how this works or what includes, but apparently you have to probably use your own use your own mobile apps, I would assume. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that for any businesses that thinking they need some sort of smartware. And a lot of companies are doing this now in manufacturing and so forth. Also, Google Assistant can now be used to identify songs. So you don't have to always have that app that's out there that does that. But Google Assistant will do this for you now. You can ask it. For those of you that use Google Assistant, you can say, what song is this? And it will tell you. Google Play Movies is now offering UHD content in the UK. So users in the UK can finally purchase 4K content from Google Play. And we know that this was already came to the United States and Canada more than a year ago. And starting today, users in the UK can now join the 4K evolution. All right. Link will be up in the show notes. You know, one thing, you know where I'm buying my movies from right now? I'm mostly buying my movies on Apple, on Apple TV. And I'm starting to buy a few. Like, I bought, and look for stuff on sale. I bought the Matrix Trilogy. I got it on sale and was thrilled to have it digitally. I know some of you still love to have the DVD and so forth, but you know that train has kind of left for me. Well, you know, where are you guys buying your movies now? Where are you guys focusing primarily where you're buying your movies? Love to hear which platform you've chose. If you've chose Amazon, are you doing it on Apple? Are you doing it on Google? You know, where are you getting the majority of your movies and where are you finding the deals? Las Vegas is expanding its self-driving shuttle experiment. The city of Las Vegas is working with a company called Navya, N-A-V-Y-A. And I just destroyed that name, but it can seat up to 8 passengers, including a safety driver. So while the vehicle's hardware and software are handling all the driving operations, it literally won't be a driverless experience. But it's a very short route. It works downtown. The shuttle project is working in and around Fremont Street, and it goes to Carson Street and 8th Street. So I'll have to look on the map where that is, but once you get down to Fremont Street, you can walk to everything. There's really no reason to kind of route around anywhere, but again, very short test area, but I'll try to find it when I go to Vegas because I always stay down on Fremont Street to see if I can give it a test. Apple plans to let developers offer discounts on in-app subscriptions. This is big. So with this change, Apple's giving developers more freedom over introductory pricing level of an in-app subscription as referenced in iOS 11.2 beta. Apple plans to expand pricing options from full price and free to include a new discounted option to entice new subscribers to sign up for a subscription with auto pay enabled. Prior to today, developers only allowed to use a single use free trial as an incentive to get users to enroll. So now you can offer discounts in 11.2. Twitter was semi-hacked a couple of days ago. Two German Twitter users successfully broke the existing character limit by sending 35,000 character tweets. And all it was a malformed URL. So that's how they found their way around that little article on it. It really didn't say anything. It was a bunch of gibberish. And they got their accounts banned for a little while by the Twitter folks until they apologized. But anyway, they found a little way around some of their stuff that they do there to limit the total number of characters. How many of you are using a multi-level strategy when it comes to backing up your data? I'm a big fan, TriCaster Jack. Turned me on to Synology a few years ago. I've been using a 5-drive bay Synology here in the home. I've had one drive go bad in the time that I've been using it. It's a very effective network attached storage device. I have a really multi-stack strategy. One of the storage places in the cloud, NAS here at the house, and then I have backup drives that get rotated that end up going offsite into my safety deposit box. So, you know, I don't know how worried you are about pictures, how you're worried about data. You know, to me, we live in this digital world right now, and you're just a single hard drive failure away from losing everything. Unless you have some sort of a plan. You know, most of you will not need a 5-drive bay network attached storage device, but you could probably buy a 3 or a 4. 5 is really good because the way they set it up with Synology is you can lose one drive. And as long as you don't lose another drive, you won't lose any data. So all you do is you shut the machine down, you pull the drive out, change the drive back, you put the drive in, you start Synology up, it gets booted, you go into the operating system and you say recover, and about 24 hours later, you're restriped and everything is safe again. So it's not something you do want to pay attention to when it starts beep, 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 beeping at you and there's a bad drive. But for many folks, these type of devices are really a godsend now, and they're relatively inexpensive in the scheme of things. But the folks over Extreme Tech kind of have a layout of what you should do if you want to store your pictures and, you know, anything that you want to back up that's digitally that you don't ever want to lose. Some options for you. Again, I use a 3-way strategy: offboard storage with a hard drive, the NAS and cloud, and I feel pretty good about my chances if something goes sideways. Apple's finally won $120 million from Samsung in a slide to unlock patent battle that is finished. Samsung has to pay up. So this is the first time I think cash has actually exchanged hands. A fake WhatsApp got downloaded over 1 million times on the Google Play Store. How does this happen? How does someone upload a fake WhatsApp and get away with that? Google needs to do more to prevent this kind of stuff. So, you know, potentially 1 million people's information got whacked. It's horrible. Amazon's offering discounts on third-party seller products. This is new. The Wall Street Journal reports Amazon is now providing discounts on some products being sold by third-party sellers on its marketplace. But here's the deal. They mark it down up to 9%, but the seller still gets the full retail. So basically, Amazon's chipping in. That's pretty cool that Amazon's doing that. They're trying to compete here for the upcoming Black Friday and all the sales are going to be going on. Did you buy an iPhone 10? Well, did you know you can get a 30-minute online training session from Apple? I'm sure this will be hard to schedule, but Apple's informed my iPhone 10 customers via email that you can now avail a free 30-minute session to help them get the most out of their phone. To help them get used to the iPhone 10, Apple's offering a customers a phone conversation with an Apple specialist. The customized interactive session gives them a one-on-one time with a specialist while they watch a video on their computer. So, okay. So if you shell out $1,000, you get 30 minutes with a Apple specialist. Samsung is working with the U.S. military in a new 5G network. Of course, 5G is up there in that high frequency range, like 28 gigahertz in the millimeter wave spectrum. And so it's doing some testing there for the military. You have to be very point to point with that type of a frequency. You can't go long ranges. Altice USA, and I didn't even know this was a company, but I guess Altice used to be Cablevision, is now launching its own wireless carrier. And yes, they're using Sprint. They're going to be an MVNO, mobile virtual network operator. So they're leasing lines from Sprint. Uber's going to be donating $5 million to sexual assault prevention. Uber's quest to reform its bad behavior now includes donations of up to $1 million a year to good causes. And so they're going to donate to organizations to help prevent sexual assault and domestic violence. And initial rounds of money goes to groups called like A Call to Men, the National Network to End Domestic Violence, and No More, with a focus on tackling critical funding gaps in marginalized communities. So Uber's buying their way out of trouble. AT&T's Flying Cow Drone provides cell service to Puerto Rico. It's a flying drone on a tether, and it goes up to 400 feet, and it can serve an area of about 40 square miles. And no word on how long this drone can actually stay in the air. I assume because it's on a tether that they're able to provide some extra power to the drone. So it's just not on battery. But anyway, that link will be up in the show notes. I get a little demo video here. I don't know how effective it is, but it seems to me that they wouldn't be able to run a drone continuously. It just, how long can you fly a drone on, you know, and this is a pretty hefty one too. So link will be up in the show notes. Apparently some abandoned official U.S. government Twitter accounts, yes, abandoned U.S. government Twitter accounts were recovered by Russians. And those accounts have been followed up and been banned by Twitter now because they were all of a sudden speaking Russian within the tweets. So someone forgot the password, forgot to maintain it, whatever. Comcast had an internet service outage and several cities were affected. Seattle, Los Angeles, looks like Milwaukee, most of Michigan and Chicago, almost the whole entire Eastern Seaboard, Tennessee, Georgia, all the way down into Southern Florida. So lots of issues. Their outage lasted about 4 hours today. Broadcom is in a hostile takeover bid for Qualcomm. They've offered $130 billion for unwelcome takeover bid. So we'll see where this goes, but the shareholders are going to have to vote on it. And Qualcomm is basically saying, walk away, walk away, walk away. But if successful, the combined firms would gain a tighter grip on the wireless chip market. And of course, Broadcom just announced here a few days ago, they're bringing their company back to the United States. The headquarters are coming back, whatever that entails. But don't know if that's manufacturing as well. But at least its HQ is coming back to the USA. Estonia has frozen resident ID cards. Apparently, 760,000 residents have ID cards that, can be hacked and someone can assume their identity. And the country has blocked most of its residents from accessing all its online services for the weekend so it can go in and fix the vulnerability. All cards issued from October 2014 to October 2017 will be frozen until their owners apply for updated certificates with the fix. and they'll be able to do that online. So it sounds like a mess there. Two siblings were managed to trick the Face ID into unlocking their iPhone 10. And basically, Apple says there are some reasons that this happened. They're not identical twins, but these two guys are a little bit different in age. And apparently, the Face ID has the ability to recognize your face as you age, as long as you enter a password saying it is you. And that's what they did. So they were able to trick the phone to unlock, but were prompted to get a password. So there's a pretty cool YouTube video on it, and love to see some more people experiment with this. The free Windows 10 upgrade offer will end on December 31st. So, you know, when Windows 10 was first introduced, Microsoft announced that the operating system would be free. And so anyway, that free upgrade, where it's going to end, it will die on December 31st. So what's coming next? Windows 11? Is that going to be free? Haven't heard too much about updates from Windows, have we? Users that have a Amazon device can now shop Best Buy. Why would you shop with your Amazon device? Would you not just go on BestBuy.com and shop? I don't know why I would want to vote or to buy stuff with Best Buy through my Amazon device. It just seems a little bit odd to me. He is store over here in Geek News Central. Actually got picked up by a lot of folks. Evertune has been acquired by Niantic. Evertune was created to democratize storytelling. Their mission was able to video creation for anyone with stories to tell. So Niantic, of course, the makers of Ingress and Pokemon Go, those two games have purchased Evertune. If any of you were familiar with that before, I wasn't. But nice job on that from Jen, who picked it up at Geek News Central. All right, so Black Friday. If you'd like to shop at Target, their ad is online. Of course, Kohl's ad reveal was last week. So lots of these deals are on bestblackfriday.com, where all these ads are being linked to. And it lists all the stuff that's going to be on sale for Black Friday. So you can start planning your shopping strategy now. If you have an iOS 11 device and it has the letter I problem. Some people can't type in I. It's giving you an A instead. There is a fix for this. Link will be up in the show notes. Talking about that iPhone cost a little bit earlier, the iPhone 10 costs $357.50 to make and has an incredible profit margin. Think about that, about $650, 59% or so. We already talked about that. Also, there's a cool article on Lifehacker. If you find yourself in a survival situation and you're trying to get a fire started, there's 6 weird ways to start a fire without matches or a lighter. Link will be up in the show notes for that. Non-techie, but kind of fun. Another Google Pixel 2 XL issue. If you've been following the Pixel 2 XL debate, you'll know that fresh problems have been cropping up with Google's phone ever since it launched. There was a display problem before. Then Google shipped phones without an operating system. And now, as if Losh hasn't been big enough disaster, a new issue has surfaced last Friday following the reports of Pixel 2 XL charging more slowly than expected. A Google Plus user used a series of tools to measure the speed at which the phone charged. The reports of slow charging are completely true, as tests showed that the Pixel 2 XL charging is functionally capped at 10.5 watts when charging from a low percentage and then decreases exponentially after it reaches 65%. And this suggests that the Google LG is trying to avoid strain on the battery in order to maximize longevity. And he has a hypothesis that about this, and they're just basically being really conservative, and Google has not yet commented on this. The Essential phone got another price break. It's down to $450. They're trying to kickstart the sales on this thing even more. So a good sign for you, bad sign for them. That is for sure. Last couple articles here. Check out the Black Friday discount on Echo, Kindle, and Fire products. Amwell's pre-announced some key deals on its Paperwhite, Cloud Cam, Echo Plus, Fire 7, and Fire HD products for Black Friday. Link is up in the show notes. The Cloud Cam, $99, $20 off, starting on November 23rd. So again, some deals there. I have them up in the show notes. Also, there's a holiday gift guide, 2017-2018 Best Android Smartphones from AndroidHeadlines.com. I'll have the link in the show notes for you to check that out. All right, that's going to wrap me up for regular content tonight, but I do have a comment. One of our Ohana members down in Australia was going to be switching his stuff to Google. And to GoDaddy. And and this is Trevor. Trevor, I appreciate the college try here. He says, "Hey, Todd, enjoyed your various podcasts. Decided to support you by switching to GoDaddy and using your promo code. I'm based in Australia. I logged into GoDaddy and set up an account and called their support number. I got some good advice and decided to proceed with a plan. Prior to playing, I mentioned your promo code. And the guy said I was already getting 36% off, so there was no point in putting in your code." He used his code, Trevor. "Just thought you should know that I'm a new customer of GoDaddy due to you, but GoDaddy would not know that. Obviously, that is not how these things are supposed to work. Anyway, keep up the good work." Love that you're on GoDaddy, but please, everyone, please. I don't get credit unless you use the code. The sales guy should not have done that unless my code didn't save you as much. I definitely appreciate everyone that picks stuff up from GoDaddy, but just remember, if you don't use my code, I don't get credit for it. I'm glad you're on there and that you're switched over, and thanks for being a Blueberry customer, so it comes back to me that way as well. But for all of you that are Ohana members, every time you use the code, when you set up an account or help someone set up account, it's like a major donation to the show. All right. It's like being a certain level insider. And I can't say how much because I'm by NDA, I can't. But it's a certain level insider level just by using that once. It's basically the same as almost a year's worth of contribution at one of the contribution levels. So yes, it's always good that you use the codes, and I hope you're happy over there. But please use my codes at all costs when you can. I definitely appreciate it when you do. So that had come in, but Trevor, thanks so much, and thanks for being a fan of the slow. And Darren, you're in the Slack channel now, so welcome, and thanks for joining. And anyone else who wants to join our Slack channel, please send me an email, and that way you can roast me on there about stuff that goes on during the show. You can private message me. It's kind of amazing the number of little private messages I get from folks, and we're having a lot of fun right now. There's a lot of cool stuff being brought into the channel, talking about stuff that's related to stuff I talk about in the show. So I hope that you consider becoming an insider here. Okay, so sorry for the rough start. It seems like we had a couple of those. I'm hoping to get this thing locked back down where we won't have, any more. Part of it's show host and show host prep and show studio prep as well. So again, appreciate everyone being here and letting me blunder through at the very beginning. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing you the show today. My name is Todd Cochran. You can support me by supporting our sponsors at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what you love or hate about the show, what you like, how we're saving you money. Lots of shows now, lots of articles. We're trying to save you cash, especially coming up to Black Friday. We're going to send you as much stuff as we can here over the next couple of weeks to get you prepped for the big shopping event, okay? And of course, Cyber Monday will follow, but Black Friday is where a lot of the big deals, if you actually go out and traverse the stores. I do all my shopping online. But everyone, thank you for being here, and we'll see you on Thursday. Everyone, take care. Aloha.